got you over in Hebrews chapter 11 because Hebrews chapter 11, and I feel this is a teaching warning. You know, we have different, you know, you come to Family Worship Center. If a church is led by the Spirit of God, then it's going to be defined by Him. When you come, it could be a run-jump service. It could be, what we've done is some churches have become so spiritually minded that they don't have any teaching. And then others have become so teaching minded, they don't have any Holy Ghost. We have to have a commitment to both of those things. Everything has to be in the house of God. The service doesn't always have to be, you know, that we're flipping in the aisles or that we come and get some emotional, you know, whatever. But the Word of God today is where I feel like we need to be. And so you know, and we always give a word, but this is just the emphasis of this day. I thought that video was excellent because some of you needed to hear it. Some of you need to realize what you're doing in your corporate environment. Let me read a couple of scriptures to you. You stay there at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, we're told, or we understand to be, we call it, ministers call it, churches call it, they call it the Faith Hall of Fame. Because in this particular passage of scripture, we are given the definition of faith. There is no greater definition given anywhere in the Bible than Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. None. You cannot find a better definition of faith. It is here, the writer, we believe to be Paul, but I'll say the writer. The writer of Hebrews writes to us and explains to us in no uncertain terms what faith is. Hebrews chapter 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what I cannot see. The next verse says, by faith, and it goes on. The entire chapter lists everything that happened by faith. Everything that happened by faith. The fact is this, that for you to get saved, there are two things that are involved. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved. Now, that is the absolute fact, but you are not saved by grace. Or alone by grace. Let me put it that way. You're not saved alone by grace. For by grace are you saved. Now, if I had a car on the other side of that wall and it was over there behind those doors and it was free for you and you could go outside of this building and go out there to that car and it was yours. I told you that car was yours. Provisionally, that car is yours. It's on the other side of that door. And then I said to you, you got to go through that door. You need to go through that door to get that car. It's there, provisional. I made it. I put the car out there for you. I provided that for you. I set the car outside the door. But you have to go out that door to get that car. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, if I ask you and I said to you, what's more important, the door or the car? We could argue about that, but the truth is, they're both important. They're both significant, and you can't have one without the other. If the grace wasn't there, if the provision didn't exist, then going through the door would be to nothing. But grace is outside that door. I put the car there. Are you getting my understanding? For us, grace is the provision of God. And we could say it this way. We could say that faith receives what grace provides. Look at somebody and say this. Faith receives what grace provides. Let's say it again. Faith receives what grace provides. Grace is God's unlimited, unearnable, unmerited favor. In other words, God did this because He loves you. He did it because He loves you. He gave us His Son because He loves you. He provided it. Grace. He provided healing through His Son. By Jesus' stripes, you and I are healed. By grace. There it is. It's there. It exists. It's not going to exist. It's not going to come into being. It exists. Healing belongs to me. It's done. Grace. Provision. It's there. Salvation. There. Let me give you another one. Prosperity. You and I are not coming into a place where God is going to be our provision. He said, my God supplies all my needs according to His riches, provisions made. It's already done. My need does not create provision. My need extracts it. Does anybody understand what I just said? My need does not create God's provision. There are people in this room, and the Bible says this, He knows what you have need of before you even, He knows. You will not catch God by surprise at all. Not one event in your life, not one circumstance, not one challenge, not one bill or debt, nothing in your life will catch God unaware. He'll know it. He knows it. He's not oblivious to it, and yet you're in need. Why? Why are you in need? If and you have to understand this, and God's knowing this, when he put Jesus on the cross and he said, "It's finished," he literally meant that. He wasn't going to say, "It's going to be finished." He said, "It's finished. It's done." Everything you and I will ever need. Look at somebody saying this. Nothing you will ever need, God has not provided. I don't know what your condition is. I don't know what your situation is. But I can tell you today, whether it be social, whether it be financial, health, I don't know what it is. God already did what you need. He's not going to do what you need. He did it. It was done, it is done, and it will be done. Amen. That's really important for you to understand, because salvation exists on this planet for every soul. Not one person ever born does not have, since Jesus, does not have grace provision. Salvation existed when Jesus came from the cross. It exists for us. It's sitting there. But he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Through faith. Look at somebody and say, through faith.
Through faith.
Unless you go through the door, the grace of God, and this is an extremely important point, because some people sitting in this room, some people have been taught that grace does it. Just God loves everybody. And since God loves everybody, then God does it all. And whatever's going on in your life, whatever you're experiencing in your life, whatever challenges, whatever frustrations, whatever issues, whatever good stuff, whatever bad stuff, it's all God. Because God's grace is sufficient. What that really means, when you hear the words "God's grace is sufficient," it means this: nothing you'll ever come against, do you not have the ability to overcome it? There is the power to endure, the power to overcome, the power to achieve, the power you need for everlasting life exists. God's grace is sufficient. It's not this passivity where you lay back and it's this idea that, you know, I can just sit in this mess, sit in this tragedy, and God's grace is sufficient. It's no, God's grace is sufficient. You don't have to sit in the mess. Nobody shouted amen right there. God's grace is there for you so that you never have to endure in life these challenges long term. Sickness can come, but it can't stay. Poverty may happen, but it can't stay. Somebody ought to shout out amen. God has empowered us. I want to encourage you. I want to empower you today so that you get up out of this room and realize that the blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow thereto. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers." The Bible says that no weapon formed against you shall ever prosper. The Bible goes on to say this, that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on. And I could just keep on going. I am not exempt from persecution. What is persecution? Jesus said this. He said it this way. He said that the godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. I'm not exempt from that. And then he says this. He says another scripture. He says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of all. And then it goes on to say, it says another, like I said to you, that it says that you will suffer persecution godly. So here's the thing. Some of us have confused infirmity with persecution. Don't nobody understand what I just said. Some have confused infirmity with persecution. There's a big difference. The word infirmity in the Bible is almost never, I think there's only one occasion in the entire Bible where the word infirmity is used to describe some form of sickness or poverty. The word infirmity in the Bible is always used to describe lack of wisdom, lack of challenge, or lack of ability, challenges, shortcomings. It describes things that we in the human condition on an earthly planet go through. Because we fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so if we're going to suffer infirmity, the Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. There are many times you and I have lack of wisdom. There are many times when you and I have a lack of ability. That we're challenged with the knowledge level that we have. I don't know what to do. I don't have the knowledge to achieve what I need to achieve. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are many times that we're dealing with that. And the Bible says, and the Lord will deliver us out of all of those. Amen. Come on, when you're dealing with your marriage, when you're dealing with your spouse, how many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes the Lord just says to you, go hug them. Sometimes the Lord will tell you, don't you go in that room. You don't want to hug them right now. You better do something else. But if you're hearing from the Spirit of God, he said, many of the afflictions of the righteous, the Lord will deliver them all. Now, if we're not careful, we can assign afflictions as if that was persecution. But persecution is when for God's sake, for Christ's sake, when for the sake of the cross, I am being berated or belittled or hammered or attacked for my faith. Amen. For my faith. This is important because you're sitting in this room and some of you have confused the two. Now, first of all, if God has given us his will on any subject, whatever it is, whatever subject God has given us his will, we already know what the result should be. Is that correct? Here's the example. It is my will that none should perish, but that everybody should come to everlasting life. Amen. Do you think God would ever in his mind, if that's his statement, that's his will, desire anyone to go to hell?
No.
No, because we know his purpose. So I don't have to say, does God want somebody saved? That's how come I can pray for the world. I don't know who's going to get saved. It's going to be somebody's choice. I don't understand all the dynamics of it and the height and depth of it. And we could argue all kinds of doctrinal theories and philosophies on this, and it would just be a bunch of foolishness. The bottom line is, as a born-again believer, every one of us needs to believe for everybody to get saved. Amen. We shouldn't look at one person and go, well, I hope God wants you to get saved. I'm not sure if he does. I pray you get saved. Amen. That's my prayer. Is that your prayer? How about healing? By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. I say this over and over again because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Folks, I'm telling you, no matter what is in your body right now, no matter what is on your body right now, no matter where you're sitting with your body right now, no matter how you're living right now, Jesus paid the price. He bore the stripes, and you are healed right this very minute. Well, I don't look healed. Well, I don't know why you don't have the manifestation, but I do know this, it ain't God. It's not God's will that you be. I don't ever have to pray, Lord, is it your will to heal him? Never. I already know God's will. When I walk into a room, I had a little girl in the church. They said she had had a stroke. And I received the phone call. They told me to go up to the hospital. And so I did. I drove up to the hospital this week, got there. And when I walked in that room, I laid my hands on her head. And I said, this ain't God and it can't stay. I began to drive that thing out in the name of Jesus, and I commanded her body to be restored. I commanded every vessel to be made right. I commanded everything in her body to turn around. I commanded, in Jesus' name, I cursed every sickness and disease because it does not belong to her. I said to her, you're not supposed to be here. Amen. Ain't nobody shouting, but it's the truth. Amen. You're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be sick. Jesus said, you're healed, and I receive it right now. You receive it right now. You're healed in Jesus' mighty name. You know, as I walked out of the room, she could start speaking again. Her hands started moving. Her whole situation turned around. They went back and did the CAT scan, couldn't even find the stroke. At least that was the last report I got. I'm going to find out today where we're at. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether they got a report or not. I believe the report of the Lord. How many of you just believe the report of the Lord? Glory to God. I mean, just look over at somebody and say, whose report will you believe? And then see what they say to you. Here's my answer. I will believe the report of the Lord. His report says I'm healed. His report says I'm blessed. His report says I'm free. His report says I'm delivered. His report says I have victory. His report says I have peace. His report says I've got joy. Woo! Glory to God! I'm going to try not to run today. I'm going to try and teach. But I get to talking about that and I get to thinking about, do you all know where I live? I'm growing a zoo at my house. We are now up to, we got two bunnies, but you got to get a third. I told you, anytime you get one, you got to get two more, right? So we got a bunny, and now it's up to two, and they're looking for the third bunny now. And, you know, I know spring is coming, they're going to want ducks. We got one duck, got to get two more ducks. I got two cats, we got to get one more cat. Y'all are laughing, but, you know, you only live once, and some of y'all worried about animals. You know, they say it's good for your kids. They'll get over. Whatever. It's not good for your house or your furniture. I can't tell you that. Oh, hallelujah. So, I'm like looking for, I want to get a bunny hutch. Remember I said at the beginning of this, I thought that it had to be a paycheck. But I have since learned it does not have to be a paycheck. So we're looking for these bunny hutches, and you know, if you go down to Tractor Supply, they could be like $160 for these nice bunny hutches. You know, the nice ones with good stuff, and you know, the lids that come up and all this stuff. And so we're going to buy this. We picked out a bunny hutch, like the bunny hutch. And so I'm like, okay, well, we'll have to do something. I'll build them myself. My wife always says, when are you going to have time to build a hutch? I dream real big. I actually believe I can actually have time to build a hutch. Amen. I do that around here. Oh, I'll just build it. When you gonna have time to build that, Pastor Dave? When you gonna build that? So anyway, my wife goes on Craigslist, and lo and behold, we find these two hutches. I told you, if you buy one, you gotta buy three, right? It's gotta be a total of three. And so we find this guy's got these hutches for sale that he's had in the box. He ordered them online from Tractor Supply. And so, you know, we're gonna pay about $160-something for one bunny hutch. And he's got two of them for $60 a piece. Man, I'm thrilled with that. This is good. So I type in. I'm like, we want to come get, he's in Conway. Can we come get these bunny hutches? I mean, you know, and then I ask. I said, I don't know if you'll do anything. I said, but how much would you take for the bunny hutches? He said, he writes back. He says, I've got three. I'll take 50 a piece. Y'all ain't shouting yet. Y'all ain't shouting yet. I've got three. One of them's put together. I'll take 50 apiece. Yeah. Hey! Hey! Don't you know I told him we'll be there in a minute. And for the price of one, I now have three bunny hutches with two bunnies. I didn't need an extra paycheck. I didn't have to work any extra hours. But I walk out my faith every day. I'm walking because, see, I know the will of God. I know faith begins where the will of God is known. I know the will of God. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. God wants me to prosper. He wants my paycheck to increase. He wants my life to be filled with financial blessing. He doesn't want me living in lack. He wants me to have all my needs and all my kids' needs and all my college future needs met by Jesus Christ. My God shall supply. Not one need unmet, not one thing left out. He said we're going to be fully supplied from the top of our head. We're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Everywhere I go, everywhere my feet touch. I know his will. I know his will. I was beautifully and wonderfully created. He's got a plan for me. He had a vision for me. He knew me before I was in my mother's womb. And what did he see? He saw me blessed. He saw me walking as the head. He saw me. Oh! Can you imagine when he saw you in your mother's womb? Some of you actually have the idea that God saw you beaten down, tore down, living in a shack, not driving anything, wheels all messed up, afraid to turn your car on. They might go dead at the corner. God saw you in a nice car that didn't break down. God saw you with money in your wallet. God saw him. Oh, God saw you. He did not see a wretch messed up, blown up. No, he saw you blessed. Glory to God. He saw you anointed. I tell you what, it's all over me. Y'all just don't see what I see. I've looked over the edge of 2017, and I'm telling you, if you hear what I say, if you'll grab on to what this prophet's telling you, I'm telling you that we're about to step into something. If you'll just reach out by faith, those houses that you've been believing for, those relationships you've been believing for, that change you've been believing for, that marriage. Ooh, shoot. Glory to God. Ooh, hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. New businesses are going to open up in our community. Floods of finances, floods of increase are coming. Oh, hallelujah. Shoo. When I think about his goodness and what he's done for me, when I think of his goodness and how he set me free, I want to shout, 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 shout. Woo! You might have come from one of them religious churches, and I understand why they do what they do, but this ain't it. This is one of them places you can actually let it fly. If you got to shout, shout her. I mean, just go ahead, shout it out. I believe when you speak your faith out and when you say what God says, you're going to have what God said you can have. When you begin to speak your faith out and thank him for his goodness and shout about his faithfulness and shout about his... You don't know like I know. Shoo! Ooh. Speak out that release. Speak it out. Speak it out. You say under that mountain, be thou removed. Plucked up, cast in the sea, and shall not down in your heart. But if you'll believe those things that you say shall come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. You shall say unto that mountain, be thou removed, and plucked up, cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart. But if you'll believe those things you say shall come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. And when you pray, believe you receive it, and you'll have it. Oh, have the faith of God. You shall say unto that mountain, be thou removed, plucked up, cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart. But if you believe that thing that you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. Oh, when you pray, believe you receive it, and you'll have it. Oh, have the faith of God. You'll say unto that mountain, be thou removed, plucked up, cast into the sea. And if you won't doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you say shall come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. And when you pray, believe you receive it, and you'll have it. Ah, you'll say unto that mountain, glory to God. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Glory to God. Oh, oh, oh. I'm not done yet. Keep praising, keep praising. You're about to get it. Grab it by faith. Grab it by faith. Take it out of the... It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. 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 Glory to God, it's mine. Hallelujah, it's mine. It's mine, it's mine. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout. Come on, don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment right now. I can have what I say. No, no, that's all right. I'm good. Let him praise. Just keep praising. Keep praising. Keep praising. Keep praising. Keep praising. Just keep praising. Just keep praising. Hallelujah. Go ahead, right there where you're at. Take it. I see God working in this room. Some of you, you've been believing. You've been waiting. Call it out. Call it out. Speak it out. Speak out your victory. Speak it out. Speak it out. Call it out. Speak it out right now. Call it out. Oh. Hallelujah. 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 I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've never seen their seed begging for bread. No, no, no. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Hallelujah. I know I got to close. In this room. I feel him. I feel him. I just know he's here. He's here to heal your body. He's here right now to relieve that stress in your life. He's here to touch your marriage. He's here right now. Oh! I love the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Hey. Yeah. Hey. Hallelujah. He's working. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. We got time. We ain't no hurry. Go ahead. Get it. Get it. Just go get it. Go get it. Go get it. Get your faith out. Go get it. Get it right now. God will fill your womb. Hallelujah. Get it. Get it. Get it. Get it. Get it right now. Get it. Get it. Get it. God said it. Man, I could just run around this building right now. I could just take off right now. Tumors will come out your body right this minute. Joints will be healed right this minute. Arthritis will stop right this minute. Heart murmurs gone right this minute. Oh, he's faithful and just. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Glory, 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 glory. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Go ahead. Get it. Go get it. Get your miracle. Get your moment. With long life, I'll satisfy you. Get it. Hey. Glory to God. That's right. That's right. There it is. There it is right there. There it is. Right there. Right there. Ah!
I've got something the world didn't give me. Oh, and the world can't take it away. I've got something the world didn't. Glory, glory, glory.
Whew. I bought the church bus. When did I buy that bus? We went out driving down the road, and y'all sit down, sit down. I'm driving down the road, and I don't know when it was. And I just thought we were going to do camp, and I thought, we'll just buy a bus. No more than I thought about buying a bus, I'm driving down to take my kids to a camp. It's a like a robotics camp in Hartsville. And as I drive, they just parked a bus for sale from this church up in this parking lot. I haven't painted the bus yet, but it was a great, I go into this, the parking lot they pulled it into was an RV sales place. Apparently the guy knew some guy in the RV business, and so I pulled up into this RV place, I want that bus. And anyway, they sold it to us for like this great deal, and took payments, and you know, I didn't feel like paying for it all at one time, and we had it all checked out, and they certified it as a great bus, and said the engine was great, you know. And no more than, you know, a month or two had passed, and a man came up to me and said, the Lord told me to pay for your bus. But I never saw the money. I wasn't holding it against him, because people always come and say they'll do something. But last week, I opened up the mail, and there was $6,000 in the mail. Man said, I told you I wanted to pay for your bus. I opened up the mail. Now, see, the last time I told you about these mail deals, somebody went and robbed our mail. So we put a lock on the mail. Do not rob my mail. God will get you. You do not want to rob from God. But I opened up the mail on January the 2nd. There was a check for $10,000 in the mail.
Awesome God.
I'm not special. But I walk in the favor and the faith of God. And whatever God said is mine. Now, that's just a couple of the miracles. I could continue to tell you of the miracles. There were more than just those. I just thought those would do. God does not have respect of persons. If he'll do it for one, he'll do it for another. What he is to one, he will be to another. So what is the key, Pastor Steve? What is the key? Well, there's several, but I know the one key that we all must know and understand. And this will be an ongoing, until the Lord tells me differently. The one thing that we all must do. There's so many testimonies I could tell you in this first week, of this first 2 weeks. It's just amazing. It's found in Romans 14:23 and Hebrews 38 and Habakkuk 2:4 and Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:11. The first scripture, Romans 14:23, says this, and he that doubteth is damned if he eats, because if he eats not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, you might look at that, and that might be very confusing to you, and you're sitting here looking and saying, what does that mean? If I'm not walking in faith, then I'm in sin? That's not what that's saying. It's not speaking of sin as if it were some form of unrighteousness. This scripture is indicating to us that whatsoever is not of faith is death. We walk in the spirit of life and faith. For I walk by faith and not by my natural sight. Look at somebody say, I walk by faith. This is indicating to us that whatever is not of a faith walk is of a death walk. In other words, it doesn't bring life. Faith brings life. Faith is life. Faith brings us the life of God. I'm not just talking about natural faith. I'm talking about supernatural faith. That God wants us to walk by faith and not by death. See, you and I live in a world. We're going to die because this is the world we live in. This is the dilemma that Adam created. This is the point. We have a choice, though, through Jesus Christ, to live in a world system, in a world environment, with worldly expectations, with sense knowledge, my taste, my touch, my feel, my smell, and my hear. And that's all I know. Or we can walk by faith, which is life. And anything not of faith is death. We won't have the life of God in it. So for the average person who isn't, you know, extra smart, extra good looking like me, or extra muscly or whatever it may be, and you're just traveling through life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's a few people that live at a different place because they were blessed. Maybe they, you know, started at a different place than we start, or they had some breakthrough that we didn't have. They saw something that we didn't see. And so they live in this worldly system, and God allowed that to come through them. Maybe some invention came through them because the world needed that invention, and they had the ability to get that invention. But that's not everybody in this room. But there's no limit to everybody in this room. I don't think you got what I said. I mean, we look sometimes and we turn on the television and we see the guy that, you know, the lifestyles of the rich and famous, and look at their bling and this, that, and the other. And that's not certainly not what I'm trying to say, is that we ought to have a desire for bling. That we get caught up and we are lustful in our thinking, or that we're envious. God doesn't bless envy. But I'll tell you this, there's not a soul, not one person that knows Jesus that is limited in their life. Amen. To him that believeth, all things. You need to start having an all things are possible mentality. If I was only younger, Pastor Steve. No, all things are possible until they bury you in that box. You don't know how I started. It does not matter where you started. See, listen, you've got to understand who your daddy really is. You say, well, his daddy gave him $1 million to get started. Well, my daddy's richer than his daddy. Whose daddy you think your daddy is? Well, I didn't get the start everybody else got. You going to the wrong daddy. You looking to the wrong bank. I go to First Heaven Bank. I hope you understand what I'm trying to tell you this morning. That by faith there's no limit. By faith there's life. Those other scriptures that I read to you say this: the just, that's you and me. We've been justified through Jesus. The just shall live by faith. Our life expectancy. The expectancy of our life. In faith is different than natural expectation. The outcome is already described by God. We live in the outcome. I already know the end. I'm not living in what's going on right now. The bills might not be paid at this moment, but I already read the book. How many know the end of the story tells the story? If you read the end of the story, the character at the end of the story is the character you are. I already know God paid my bills. I already know. I lay them out on the table and say, paid. I speak to you paid. I speak debt free in Jesus' name. Because God said he would take care of every need in my life. I'm walking from faith. I walk by faith. I know there may be some things that challenge me along my faith. Many are the afflictions, but the Lord, I already know. Amen. I don't get disturbed when the affliction comes. I already know that God has promised me. His word does not lie. He's not a man that he should lie. I already know the outcome. I know the afflictions might come, but I already know the end result. I don't have to get urgent and crazy and worried and brain messed up, and I don't have to fall down on the floor and roll in pain and writhe in disgust. All I know is somewhere in the future, as I'm walking by faith, somewhere down the road, bam, there it's going to be, bam. That's the old saying, why do I have to worry? Huh? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches, hallelujah, me. I sing because I'm happy. Come on. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow. Glory. And I know he watches.